Welcome, everyone. This national audio call, Firsthand Facts, Visits, Tours, Testimony, and More, is sponsored by CLASP's Institute on Poverty and Opportunity. Today's call will zero in on a key question that poverty commissions and task forces need to address from the get-go. What are the facts about poverty and opportunity that are important to know to help shape solutions? The Institute is a resource that provides technical assistance. If we don't have the answer, we know who does. So just email me at jodi@clasp.org, with your question, and we'll get back to you or put you in touch with a colleague organization. Across the country, there is a resurgence of attention to poverty and opportunity as an issue that commands political attention. The evidence is in the numbers. In a report released by CLASP, jointly with Spotlight on Poverty and Opportunity in April, we found that just in 2006 and 2007 and the first part of 2008, fully 10 states had raised the political profile of opportunity for all. That is, these states had created commissions, new legislative caucuses, or planned a state summit. To see the report, just go to www.spotlightonpoverty.org and look for Seizing the Moment. Also, soon to be posted there will be a video of a D.C. session held just this past Monday and co-sponsored by Spotlight, Half in 10, and the National League of Cities that featured commission-related developments in New York City, Illinois, Minnesota, and Connecticut. It's really worth going to see this video. It was really a surprise to do the report and find this remarkable fast-paced trend, even more remarkable because the issue has been politically untouchable for years. But what really gives me the chills is that the report is so out of date. Since April of this year, another six states have taken fresh action to give political attention to the issue of opportunity for all. Where a commission gets going, either through legislation or an executive order, the first question is, okay, we're a commission. Now what do we do? There's a lot to figure out. One of the first questions is, what do we need to know to effectively formulate priority recommendations that will be most useful? And how do we go about learning it? In Minnesota, the Legislative Commission to End Poverty has spent 18 months trying to understand the nature, causes, and consequences for the state and for the individuals who struggle to make ends meet in today's economy. The Commission's next task is to make recommendations. What role does firsthand facts, getting out around the state, make? How can advocacy organizations work collaboratively with a commission to zero in on the most pressing problems? How can policymakers best hear from those experiencing low incomes? And how does a commission keep getting firsthand insights after it makes its recommendations? Joining me today to address these questions are Representative Maury Lanning with Minnesota's Legislative Commission to End Poverty. Hello, Representative. How are you?
Good afternoon, Jody, and everyone.
Great. And Deborah Schlick with Affirmative Options Coalition. Deborah, hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm pleased to be on the call. Thank you.
And Jessica Larson with Circles of Support in Grand Rapids, and that's Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hi. Great. Thank you.
We appreciate all of you joining us, and what the audience no doubt has heard is that this is one state. It's all Minnesota. But what we also have today are three distinct perspectives on this question of how to find out what's going on with respect to poverty and opportunity in a state. One logistical note before we dig in. I will briefly interview each of these guests, and then it will be your chance to ask whatever is on your mind. Our operator, Doug French, will remind you what buttons to press each time, so it's really easy for you to ask your questions. We'll get started with Representative Lanning. You sit on the Executive Committee of the Legislative Commission to End Poverty in Minnesota. The commission was established in 2006 and is made up of 18 legislators and two non-voting members appointed by the governor. The commission was set up to spend its first phase getting a grip on the facts and then culminating with some recommendations that will be forthcoming soon. Before we actually get into the meat of the question of how you found your facts and decided what to pursue, some background questions. Did you Representative Lanning volunteer to be on this commission? And if you did, why?
I did request to be appointed to the commission. I was involved in the original formation proposal that was approved by our legislature in 2006. And I wanted to be a part of this. I asked our leadership to appoint me because of the longstanding interest I've had in the issue of poverty. I've worked a lot in housing issues, homelessness, and I had a real interest in seeing what we could do to do a better job in addressing the issue of poverty.
And what are the goals of the commission?
Well, the mission or vision of our commission is to eliminate poverty by the year 2020. That's no small task, a rather daunting task, and that's our overall mission or goal. But underneath that, we have three main goals that we've identified. The first is to help people achieve economic self-sufficiency and meet their families' economic needs by improving their capacity to earn income. And that includes dealing with educational opportunities, helping people find better jobs, and providing the kind of support they need. Secondly, the goal is to help people and communities accumulate and advance financial and developmental assets. We've been exploring things like individual development accounts that people need to start being able to accumulate some assets in order to help get their way out of poverty. And the developmental assets is something that helps individual people get the support and encouragement and opportunities that they need to help themselves work out of poverty. The third and final goal is to remove barriers and obstacles to rising out of poverty, dealing with things like racism and sexism, meeting emergency health, housing, transportation needs, improving mental health and chemical dependency treatment options, dealing with child care issues, and also improving public awareness about the causes and solutions of poverty. We don't think that we can solve this problem or achieve our goal unless we engage all sectors of our society and unless people in general understand what the causes and what the potential solutions are to poverty.
Well, you know, you've laid out some impressive big picture goals. Undergirding your recommendations have to be, you know, facts that suggest what strategies to employ in these very big goals. How did you yourself start out with this mission as your guiding force? How did you yourself start out to know what things you needed to know? Did you feel like you came to this commission knowing all that you needed to know?
Heavens no. We had some ideas and some of our own experiences dealing with the issue, but we recognized that we needed to learn a lot from people who are advocates, people working with those who are struggling with poverty, and from people themselves who experience poverty. We needed to find out what's working in our systems now, what isn't working, and what might be some new things or new opportunities that might help us achieve this overall goal. So to begin with, we heard a lot from people who are in the trenches, so to speak, addressing this issue, and then we went about the process of touring the state. I think we had like 9 tours around the state talking to both advocates and people working for service providers, as well as people who are experiencing poverty. And that was very helpful.
Let's drill down a little bit more into those listening tours that you've just mentioned. As I understand it, they were developed to be informal and not like a hearing in the Capitol. It's not like you all went out there and held field hearings. You actually did some listening tours at different kinds of places and different institutions and different kinds of settings. Can you fill us a little bit in on some of the kinds of places that you went to and whether or not you think there's some advantage to getting around the state in an informal way?
Well, they were informal listening sessions, and they were organized by people on the ground in the local community or geographical area. And we traveled all around the state. We covered all areas or regions of the state in this tour schedule that we developed. And the local folks, publicized it, trying to get people to come and helped organize the program, so to speak, the people who were given an opportunity to speak. And in each case, people who weren't necessarily arranged to be a speaker were able to also address us and provide their testimony or their advice or suggestions, whatever the case might be. And, of course, sometimes you hear the same things, but I think each tour that we went to, we learned some new things. Or there certainly are some geographic-specific experiences or needs that people have. But there obviously were a lot of common themes that we heard as we traveled around the state.
Well, I actually saw a press clip about a bill that you introduced that was described as a result of the listening tours for you, that you actually heard this issue keep popping up at the various listening tour sessions. And just in this session of the legislature, you introduced this bill on transportation that you're hoping will address some of the concerns that constituents around the state were saying or it was a problem. Could you just fill us in a little bit about both what the bill seeks to do and what you heard at these listening sessions that made you want to introduce this bill?